Last Sunday afternoon, when I was asked to preach, after the service, I went home pondering what I should preach on. And I even asked Darrell if she had any suggestions. Well, she didn't give me any at the time. We both turned to the Scriptures. And we have an old Bible that had been in my mother's family, and she gave it to me for several generations. It is a King James Version, but it does have the Apocrypha in it. And I've been reading some of the books of the Apocrypha, and I just thought, well, let me turn to one of the books here and just read a little bit. And I read in Tobit, and it was the chapter I looked at was a chapter of praise to God. So I thought, well, the Psalms that David wrote, many of those were also praise to God. And so I thumbed through the Psalms and was reading several, thinking that, well, maybe praise would be a good topic for a sermon. But in my thoughts, I was thinking, there's a lot here on praise. It wouldn't be hard to find plenty of information. But in Latter-day Revelation, in the Book of Commandments here, chapter 10, verse 4, it tells us to say nothing but repentance unto this generation. So I was thinking, I guess I'd better pick another subject. And just then Darrell spoke up. And she said, you ought to do your sermon on praise. She didn't know I'd been thinking along these lines. So I asked her, well, why do you say that? And she said, well, I was looking in the Psalms here. And reading the Psalms and noticing that David had many times praised the Lord in those words. So I pondered a little bit more. Repentance or praise? Wasn't that an indication when Darrell said that I was to do it on praise? And then I went back and read that 13th chapter of Tobit again, and I want to read it to you. I copied it off here because the old Bible that I have is kind of falling apart, and I didn't want to bring it. This is from the Apocrypha, and these are the words of Tobit in the 13th chapter. And the situation of the time was he had been blind for 8 years, and he had just received his sight again. So he had reason here to praise the Lord. It says, then Tobit wrote a prayer of rejoicing, and said, blessed be God that liveth forever, and blessed be his kingdom. For he doth scourge, and hath mercy. He leadeth down to hell, and bringeth up again. Neither is there any that can avoid his hand. Confess him before the Gentiles, ye children of Israel, for he scattereth us among them. There declare his greatness. That word could come down to us today. We're among the Gentiles. There declare his greatness and extol him before all the living, for he is our Lord. And he is the God of God our Father forever. And he will scourge us for our iniquities and will have mercy again and will gather us out of all nations among whom he has scattered us. If ye turn to him with your whole heart and with your whole mind and deal uprightly before him, then will he turn unto you and will not hide his face from you. And when I read that last phrase, if ye turn to him with your whole heart and with your whole mind and deal uprightly before him, then he will turn unto you and will not hide his face from you. And I thought, hey, this is repentance. He is praising. But he's still talking about repentance. Therefore, see what he will do with you and confess him with your whole mouth and praise the Lord of might and extol the everlasting King. In the land of my captivity do I praise him. And Tobit was in the captivity that we've been talking about in times of Daniel and Meshach, Shadrach, Abednego, and all those that were taken captive. Tobit was also in captivity. But he says, in the land of my captivity do I praise him and declare his might and majesty to a sinful nation. And shouldn't we be doing the same? O ye sinners, turn and do justice before him. Doesn't that sound like repentance again? Who can tell if he will accept you and have mercy on you? I will extol my God, and my soul shall praise the King of heaven and shall rejoice in his greatness. O Jerusalem, the holy city, he will scourge thee for thy children's work. Children indicates he'll continue to scourge for the generations passing on down from that time, for their works, because he knew that they would not be the works of righteousness. And will have mercy on the sons of righteousness. Give praise to the Lord, for he is good, and praise the everlasting King, that his tabernacle may be builded up in thee again with joy, and let him make joyful there in thee those that are captives, and love in thee forever those that are miserable. Many nations shall come from far to the name of the Lord God with gifts in their hands, even gifts to the great King of heaven. All generations shall praise thee with great joy. Cursed are all they which hate thee, and blessed shall all be which love thee forever. Rejoice and be glad for the children of the just, for they shall be gathered together and shall bless the Lord of the just. O blessed are they which love thee, for they shall rejoice in thy peace. Blessed are they which have been sorrowful for all thy scourges, for they shall rejoice in thee when they have seen all thy glory and shall be glad forever. Let my soul bless God, the great King, for Jerusalem shall be built up with sapphires and emeralds and precious stones, the walls and the towers and the battlements with pure gold. And the streets of Jerusalem shall be paved with beryl and carbuncle and stones of ophir. And all her streets shall say, Alleluia. And they shall praise him, saying, Blessed be God, which hath extolled it forever. Let me also turn, read a couple verses in the Psalms here. Psalms 9, 1 and 2. says, I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. Showing forth his works, I think, is a form of praise if they're works of righteousness. It says, I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. And in 1 Peter, the second chapter, starting with verse 9 through 12. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war after the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. And from these things I see that praise is just a little bit more than just saying praise the Lord with our lips. It includes repentance. It includes works. And if our works are and we will praise him by our works if our works are righteous. And if they're not righteous, then repentance is required of us. Well, maybe I should define what praise is, if that's what I'm going to speak on here. The definition given in the Bible was to laud the glory of God, as in song, to glorify, to extol. And in my concordance, there's a definition, ascription of honor and glory to God. And that's what we're talking about here. You know, there's been people, kings and conquerors and the Pope and others who have accepted or even required this type of praise to themselves. It goes only to God. You know, I'm not talking about... We should give a degree of praise to each other in the things that we do that are worthy of praise. And we should give that praise. And if we do receive praise, we should accept it as humbly as we can. It's not meant to glorify or extol us. But we should, any time we receive praise, give the glory to God. I'm talking about the praise that we need to give to God here tonight, or today. But why? You know, I keep asking these questions. What, why, where, how? You know, why should we praise God? Does God need that praise? I pondered that in my mind and I said, no, he doesn't need the praise. If he needed the praise, it would put him down to the level of these despots, these kings and conquerors and so on that I mentioned. He doesn't need the praise. The praise that we give to him is for our benefit. We benefit from it. He doesn't need it. We need to give it. It's It's a way to humble ourselves, to show how little we are to His greatness. It also, I believe, is an attitude, a way of life. You know, if we show forth the fruits of the Spirit, live our life as a praise, others will see what we have and desire that for themselves. And isn't that the best missionary tool that we could possibly have? I want to turn to the Psalms again and read just one verse here. I could read all day and in the Psalms and of the praise here, but I'm not going to do that. I just want to read a few verses here and there as they fit the situation as I go along here. The 33rd chapter in the first verse says, oops, wrong book. Right chapter, wrong book. Psalms. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. And comely means proper, suitable, attractive. It's comely for the upright. It's an attitude that shows forth as a testimony to others what we have. In Jeremiah, the 33rd chapter, in verse 11, Jeremiah 33:11, it says, "The voice of joy and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the voice of them that shall say, Praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good, for His mercy endureth forever. And of them that shall bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord, for I will cause to return the captivity of the land as at the first, saith the Lord." It mentions sacrifice of praise. And when I read that, I was struck that praising is a sacrifice. A sacrifice of our wills and everything. And humbling ourselves to the Lord. In a song, number 220, Praise Ye the Lord. The first line says, Praise Ye the Lord. 'Tis good to raise your hearts and voices in His praise. His nature and His works unite to make this duty your delight. When I read that, I thought, it's also a duty. A duty that we have. So, if we want salvation, and that should be our goal, we must praise Him in the sense I'm trying to get across here. More than just words. Psalms 100. I'm going to read the whole chapter. It's only five verses, so it's not long. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord is God. He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. And this is the important verse. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful upon Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Praise is required before we can enter into His presence. If you look at some of the prayers, I went and looked at the Lord's Prayer. Hallowed be His name, it says. A word of praise was offered. And we should praise the Lord as we pray, as we start our prayers. But we should also praise Him with our lives before we even start to pray. Well, so how do we praise Him? Well, I've given some ideas here. I think the most important is by our righteous works. But also with our lips. In the 13th chapter of Hebrews, and verse 15, it says, let us offer the sacrifice of praise, there's that phrase again, sacrifice of praise, to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. So that is important, that we praise Him with our lips. But I want to admonish you at this time that I don't mean saying praise the Lord all the time. I've heard some say that, and it sounds very artificial. They say it in almost every breath. And I think they're just replacing what the phrases, the blasphemous phrases that some use, the vulgar phrases that some use, or other vain expressions, with one that just sounds, it has a sound of being good. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying it's wrong to say that expression. I'm just saying that to make it a part of every sentence and so on, unless you really feel it, it's vain. Hebrews 13:16. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices God is well pleased. To do good works, as I've said before, and communicate, testify to others. Uh, 20 and 21, same chapter, Hebrews 13, verse 20 and 21. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Okay. So we need to communicate with our lips, telling others of His good works towards us, testifying of His goodness. But if you go to the Psalms again, I could read lots of them. I'll just read three quick verses here. 33:2. Praise the Lord with harps, sing unto him with psaltery and instruments of 10 strings. Psalms 81:1 says, sing aloud unto God our strength, make a joyful noise unto the house of Jacob. And 89:1, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever with my mouth, and I will make known thy faithfulness to all generations. And I've already read in Psalms 100 where it says, come before his presence with singing, the praise of our lips. You know, there are many here. I was watching this morning as we were singing the opening songs that don't sing these songs of praise. And many of these are the young people. I wish to admonish the young people at this time that that is necessary to sing those songs of praise, to lift up your voices to God. And the benefit will come to you for singing them. It gets us in the right frame of mind. Now, that's not just to the young. There were a few others that did not sing. Now, I know that most of you don't have an excuse. I mean, you're at least as good of a singer as I am. And I sing. Just take that as for what it's worth. And turn back to Hebrews. Read one verse again. 2:12. Hebrews 2nd chapter 12th verse say, I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the church, will I sing praise unto thee. Declare thy name, the name of Christ, to his people. To testify in meetings of prayer and testimony. We also should tell others outside the congregation of the saints, declare his name. And I know we all fall far short of this in declaring the name of the Lord to others. I didn't look up any scriptures to support some of these things, but I thought, what are some other ways that we can praise him? And I just listed a few here. Every loving, kind word that we can say to one another is praise to God. Every repented for sin is a praise to God. Therefore, search out your sins and repent of them. See, I can get repentance in a sermon on praise, can I? By our countenances, a smile on our face is a praise to God. By the way we dress when we come into this house. You know, maybe it's just me. And so take this for what it is worth to you. But I believe, and I think many of the ones that come before us several years ago would have agreed, But I don't think blue jeans, tennis shoes, not wearing of belts for and slacks that require belts, open shirts at the top, you know, past the first button at least, slacks on women and girls, sloppy dress. I don't think those offer a praise to our God. Forgive me if I've offended any, but I felt that it was important that I bring out these words. By our presence, we can praise the Lord by our presence in this house. You know, we've got a good crowd here this morning. How many of you will see fit to come back this evening? Those that don't will be the losers. Brother Randy is speaking this evening, preaching. And I think that if you don't come and hear him, you will miss out. Many of you will not be here Wednesday evening at our prayer and testimony service. You will be the loser. I admonish you each to make every effort to be here at every called service. It is a praise to our Lord. It is well pleasing that you make the effort, even though you may be tired. You may have to, and there was a couple testimonies last Wednesday that a couple different families had to put their meal aside for a little while to get out here. You may have to wait to eat afterwards, and it's kind of late. Sacrifice of praise, a sacrifice of praise. Well, I could give you some other concrete examples of how we can show our praise to the Lord, but I want to continue on here. Well, we could ask the question, well, when should we praise him? And I'm not going to turn to these, but Psalm 72:15 says, daily shall he be praised. And Psalm 71:6 says, my praise shall be continually of thee. Our lives should be a praise, should praise him continually, whatever we're doing and wherever we are. I want to read a story, or part of a story here, in the Book of Mormon, starting on page 398. This is Alma 14. And Ammon here had good reason to praise the Lord, and he was praising the Lord to his brethren after they had come back together and told of their successes. And in verse 92 of the 14th chapter it says, yea, I know that I am nothing. As to my strength, I am weak. Therefore I will not boast of myself, but I will boast of my God. For in his strength I can do all things. We can do also, can do all things in his strength. Yea, behold, many mighty miracles we have wrought in this land, for which we will praise his name forever. Behold, how many thousands of our brethren has he loosed from the pangs of hell, and they are brought to sing redeeming love, and this because of the power of his word which is in us. Therefore have we not great reason to rejoice? You know, they had the opportunity to bring thousands to repentance. We have the opportunity to bring a few ourselves. Maybe someday we'll have the opportunity to bring thousands. Now, won't that be a time of rejoicing? A time... Brethren, from the chains of hell. Yea, they were encircled about with everlasting darkness and destruction. But behold, he hath brought them into his everlasting light. Yea, into everlasting salvation, and they are encircled about with the matchless bounty of his love. Yea, and we have been instruments in his hand of doing this great and marvelous work. Wouldn't it be wonderful to be instruments in his hands to bring about a work of the magnitude that Ammon and his brethren were able to do? Therefore, let us glory. Yea, we will glory in the Lord. Yea, we will rejoice, for our joy is full. We will praise our God forever. Behold, who can glory too much in the Lord? Yea, who can say too much of his great power and of his mercy and of his long suffering towards the children of men? Behold, I say unto you, I cannot say the smallest part which I feel. Who could have supposed that our God would have been so merciful as to have snatched us from our awful, sinful, and polluted state? And you know that they were among those that were persecuting the church. But God saw fit to bring them out of that and give them these great opportunities for which he is now praising the Lord. Behold, we went forth even in wrath with mighty threatenings to destroy his church. Oh, then, why did he not consign us to an awful destruction? Yea, why did he not let the sword of justice fall upon us and doom us to eternal despair? Oh, my soul, almost as it were fleeteth at the thought. Behold, he did not exercise his judgment upon us, but in his great mercy hath brought us over that everlasting gulf of death and misery, even to the salvation of our souls. And now, behold, my brethren, what natural man is there that knoweth these things? I say unto you, there is none that knoweth these things, save it be the penitent. Yea, he that repenteth and exercises faith and bringeth forth good works and prayeth continually without ceasing, unto such it is given to know the mysteries of God. Yea, unto such it shall be given to reveal things which never have been revealed. Yea, and it shall be given unto such to bring thousands of souls to repentance, even as it has been given unto us to bring our brethren to repentance. You know, Ammon had great reason to praise the Lord. And so do we. You know, he died for us to take away our sins if we would only accept him. When we turn to him with full purpose of heart, we will be saved. And we will be spared much of the misery and plagues that are soon to come upon this world. Third Nephi, the fourth chapter, has something I want to read here. It starting with verse 40, I'm just going to pick a few verses here and kind of explain what's in between to save a little time. Verse 40 says, "And many great destructions have I caused to come upon this land and upon the people because of their wickedness and abominations." This was a time of destruction that came at his death and resurrection, and as he was coming to this continent. Verse 58 says, "O ye house of Israel, whom I have spared, how oft will I gather you as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, if ye will repent and return unto me with full purpose of heart." To them, to us. Verse 60. "And now it came to pass that after the people had heard these words, behold, they began to weep and howl again because of the loss of their kindred and friends." In the time soon to come, we may have the same feeling because of the great destruction coming upon the earth. Verse 63. "And the earth did cleave together again that it stood, and the mourning and weeping and the wailing of the people who were spared alive did cease. And their mourning was turned into joy." Similar situation may soon come about for those who are righteous. "And their mourning was turned into joy, and their lamentations into the praise and thanksgiving unto the Lord Jesus Christ, their Redeemer. And thus far were the scriptures fulfilled which had been spoken by the prophets. And it was the more righteous part of the people who were saved, and it was they who received the prophets and stoned them not. And it was they who had not shed the blood of the saints who were spared. And they were spared and were not sunk and buried up in the earth, and they were not drowned in the depths of the sea, and they were not burned by fire, neither were they fallen upon and crushed to death. And they were not carried away in the whirlwind, neither were they overpowered by the vapor of smoke and of darkness. And now, whosoever readeth," that's us, "let him understand. He that hath the scriptures, let him search them and see and behold if all these deaths and destructions by fire and by smoke and by tempest and by whirlwinds and by the opening of the earth to receive them, and all these things are not unto the fulfilling of the prophets, of the prophecies of many of the holy prophets." It will be like this again soon, I believe. And just to emphasize again, verse 66, it said, "And it was the more righteous part of the people who were saved and able to praise because of this, of being saved." Verse 64. "And their mourning was turned into joy, and their lamentations into praise and thanksgiving unto the Lord Jesus Christ, their Redeemer." I'll read one more verse in closing. Mormon, the third chapter, 29th verse, page 704. "And he hath brought to pass the redemption of the world, whereby he that is found guiltless before him at the judgment day hath it given unto him to dwell in the presence of God in his kingdom, to sing ceaseless praises with the choirs above unto the Father, and unto the Son, and unto the Holy Ghost, which are one God, in a state of happiness which hath no end. Thank you.